Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This past year for me has been filled with anxious times. And I think there are many who are looking for times of peace, for a return to less anxious times. I personally don't think those days are coming anytime soon. But in the midst of all the anxiety, Jesus comes to bring his peace. In fact, Jesus is the only one who can bring us peace. Our gospel this morning begins on the evening of the first day of the week. The disciples were behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jews. They were afraid that what happened to Jesus would now happen to them. Those were certainly anxious days. Jesus was dead and buried. The disciples feared for their lives. And initially, Jesus coming among them does nothing to relieve their anxiety. The doors are locked. And suddenly now there is an uninvited guest standing in their midst. So it's no surprise that Jesus' first words to them are, "Peace be with you." He's telling them he's not there to arrest anybody. He doesn't have a gang outside waiting to come through the doors. He's come to bring them peace. He's come to remove their sorrow. He shows them his hands and his side. And when they recognize him, the disciples are overjoyed. And Jesus says again, "Peace be with you." Their anxiety, if not completely gone, has certainly taken a back seat to their joy. So why does Jesus say, "Peace be with you," a second time? In the midst of their joy, Jesus is at work to get them to focus again on the mission. When Jesus died, for all practical purposes, the mission died with him. But Jesus now comes among them to point them to what's next. And it begins with the peace he gives. Jesus was sent by his Father into the world to complete his saving work through the forgiveness of sin. When Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, sin entered into God's creation. Adam and Eve were no longer at peace with God. They were enemies of God because they had given themselves over to the dominion of sin. They were condemned to die. But they didn't die, not physically. The blood of the sacrifice bought their forgiveness. But they did die spiritually. Their relationship with God was destroyed. There was now a separation between them and God that they could not repair. But the forgiveness they received through the blood came with a promise. The seed of the woman would overcome the devil and restore peace between God and man. Jesus, by his sacrificial death, fulfilled that promise attached to the blood. He became the ransom price to buy back mankind from the dominion of sin and death. And that's why he comes and gives the disciples peace. He comes to give them peace with God. He comes to give them the peace he earned by his life, death, and resurrection. And that peace remains with them even when life seems out of control, even when anxious times prevail. And they do. A week later, they are together again behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. And Jesus comes and says again, "Peace be with you." It's a reminder that what he gives doesn't disappear when troubles come. The peace Jesus gives is a permanent possession because it is peace with God, not with this world. It is peace with the Creator of this world. It is peace that comes when the separation between God and man is removed and their relationship is restored. God comes to us to speak that word of peace, like he did with those behind locked doors, because we too live in a broken world where trials and troubles abound. He comes to speak that word of peace because our sin accuses, and the devil uses that to convince us that we do not have peace with God, that we are not loved, that our sin is too much for God to forgive, that we don't deserve such a gift. So Jesus comes to us in his word. He comes to us especially in the Lord's Supper. He comes to assure us, first, that we don't in fact deserve such a gift. What we deserve as descendants of Adam is death. By God's law, we are condemned. But there is more that Jesus comes to say. In his invitation to join him at his table, Jesus assures us that though we are unworthy to sit at his table, there is still a place there for each one of us, prepared for us by Jesus' saving work, accomplished through his life, death, and resurrection. In his invitation, Jesus says to each one of us, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Take and drink. This is my blood shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sin." Jesus joins his body and blood to the bread and wine of this meal to assure us that our sin has been forgiven, to assure us that we indeed have peace with God. Jesus comes into the fear of the disciples, he speaks peace. He comes into the doubt of Thomas, he gives faith. He comes into all who are broken by their sin, he speaks forgiveness. The peace with God that is ours through the forgiveness of our sin empowers us to live in that peace, even in the midst of trials and troubles. Through that word of forgiveness, God lifts us up and empowers us to carry that peace with us out into this world. That's why Jesus said to those in the upper room, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." The mission continues as we share with others the life and salvation that has come to us through the forgiveness of sin. The mission continues as we share with others Jesus Christ and the peace with God that comes through the forgiveness he earned. We could try to relieve the anxiety of others by working to convince them that there really is nothing to be afraid of, that this time of trouble will surely come to an end, that the troubles we encounter aren't as bad as what others are experiencing, and for a time, the level of anxiety may drop. But there will be more trials. We will continue to sin. The devil will continue to whisper words of doubt and outright lies to convince us that God is not pleased with us. The only lasting peace, the only peace that can weather all the storms and temptations and our failures is the peace that Jesus gives through the forgiveness of our sin. At his table, we hear him say to us that our future is secure, that our place at his table will not be given to another. It is his gift to us, and it is ours forever in him who has conquered sin and death. That's the peace that Jesus comes to share, and that's the peace that is now our privilege to share. It is a message that all who live in this broken world need to hear. It's a word of hope. As we live in that peace, as we celebrate that peace with God through the forgiveness of sins, others will come and they will ask how we can be at peace in the midst of a world that seems crazy at times. How can we be at peace in the midst of a world that seems out of control? They will want to know how we can talk of peace when anxiety grips our life. And then we point them to Jesus, who has given us his peace. We point them to Jesus, who says to us all, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." And in the sharing of that peace, in the sharing of that word, Jesus will come through that word to offer them his peace. Jesus will come to show them their need, to give them eyes to see the gulf that sin has put between them and God, and to show them all that he has done to remove that gap and bring them peace with God. As we share the hope and peace that we've received from Christ, Jesus comes and says to us all, "Peace be with you. My peace I give to you." Amen. And now may that peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus this day and forevermore. Amen.